Welcome to the That Healing Feeling podcast. I'm your host, Faith Ashenden, founder and CEO of That Healing Feeling, where we show you how to become a self-healer of mind, body, and spirit through nervous system regulation. Join me and thousands of my other students as I dive into the world of neuroscience, subconscious programming, energetics, and radical self-love. In this podcast, you will learn that your body and mind are meant to heal, and that under the right circumstances, we can experience miraculous healing by leveraging our own internal infrastructure. Let me guide you as we challenge preconceived notions and outdated narratives and dive into the empowering world of self-healing. My intention is that you leave this podcast full of hope and actionable tools. So without further ado, let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to the That Healing Feeling podcast. I'm here with a solo episode all about self-love. So in all honesty, I have been trying to think of the most valuable solo episodes that I can serve you. And I just kind of went back and thought about the questions that people are asking me in the Health Transformation Accelerator. And I feel like this is one that comes up a lot. And self-love, in my opinion, is really at the foundation of all healing. Like at the very root of healing yourself, you need to love yourself enough to heal. And I think that so many people who come to me and are looking to do this work feel like they don't really know where to start with that. And they don't even really know what that means. And so I thought that I would just give you like a little roadmap of here are some simple ways that you can really befriend not just yourself, but your nervous system. Because in order to communicate with your nervous system and communicate safety to the nervous system, you need to be friends. I think that we need to be looking at our relationship with our nervous systems like a relationship with a friend. If you are trying to repair a relationship with a friend of yours, you want to be able to communicate. You want to be able to communicate effectively. You want to show affection and compassion. We all kind of sort of have this understanding of how we would foster a relationship with a friend or someone in our life. The nervous system really isn't any different to that. So if you're trying to regulate your nervous system and to communicate safety to the nervous system, you really need to work on that relationship. You need to work on the way that you're communicating to the nervous system, as well as showing your nervous system love and compassion and care and consistency, and show it that you are going to consistently show up and put in the work. And in that way, you strengthen the line of communication between yourself and your nervous system, and you're able to send messages of safety really effectively. So anyone who's trying to regulate, I think that this is a really good lens that they can take, and it makes, in my mind, like at least makes it really practical and really helps us like laser focus on what's important when it comes to regulating. I think I said this on the last episode, but you know, there's a lot of information out there on how to regulate the nervous system. And I think that, you know, doing an ice bath or meditating or yoga or tapping or whatever, like it can be really helpful. And don't get me wrong, like I do a lot of that stuff myself. But at the end of the day, if you don't even have a relationship with your nervous system, you don't know when it's speaking to you, you don't know how to communicate, you don't show it compassion directly with your conscious mind, then the nervous system is kind of like, I don't really understand the messages. And that's why you might still feel like you are dysregulated, because you're kind of working on all the like quick wins in a way. And I know that sounds crazy, because you're like, hey, meditating every day is not a quick win. Doing yoga every day is not a quick win. But if you aren't willing to look your nervous system directly in the face and listen to what it has to say to you, none of those practices are going to give you the consistent communication that you need to build to not only just regulate, but regulate to heal, right? So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I think the good news is that using the approach I've given you here today, like it's really easy. I like to try to make it like as easy as possible for you and almost just shift the way that you're thinking to help all of this work just be like totally habitual. So I have a list here. Let's see, how much did I write down? 1, 2, 3, 4. I wrote down 5 things just off the top of my head. I didn't want to like make this too long. So I basically was like, all right, I'm just going to write a quick list as if I was coaching within the Health Transformation Accelerator. Generally, like my clients will submit questions and I'll write a little list and then I'll go present the answers to the questions. So think of it as like 100 podcasts, but live and the answer to all your questions and so much more. So that's kind of like the format that I've used here for you today. And I hope that it's helpful for you. So here are 5 of my tips to show your nervous system love, to build that relationship so that you can quickly and effectively send messages of safety to regulate and ultimately heal yourself. Now, for me, I thought I would start, if you will, chronologically with what I think is the most important step for this. And this is to focus on your subconscious understanding of worthiness. So at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of people don't show their nervous system and their bodies love because they don't believe they're worthy of it. For whatever reason, they have created stories in their mind that they're not deserving of the kind of love and compassion they might show to other people that they love, or the kind of love and compassion they see other people offering to themselves. And this comes back to the idea that you believe you're not worthy of it. And as long as you have this belief, all these other tips and tricks I can give you are not going to really work because you're not going to be consistent. You might start with it because you're inspired and you're like, yes, I've just listened to this podcast. This sounds really fun. I'm going to do this stuff. But then over time, since our beliefs dictate our actions, if you don't believe you're worthy, you're just going to stop doing the things and you're going to be back to where you started. So I really want you to be successful with your implementation. And that really comes down to, in my opinion and experience, your belief of whether or not you are worthy of staying consistent and prioritizing yourself. So let's talk about worthiness. I think that this is a really interesting concept, and I'm going to teach it to you the way that I teach it to my students. So worthiness is not something that is earned. Worthiness is something that we're born with, and we're all equally worthy. What's interesting is that your subconscious mind has started to attach this idea that worthiness is earned based on this good girl, bad boy programming. So what I mean is, when we are children, between the ages of 1 and 7, our brains don't have the ability to reason. So if someone tells us, you know, Santa Claus is going to come down the chimney, we're like, cool, Santa Claus is going to come down the chimney. We aren't thinking like, how is he going to fit in the chimney? Like, how is he going to go back up? How's he going to go from house to house? We're taking everything as fact and truth. Our brain is very, very moral. So it's really attaching essentially morality to absolutely everything as we're learning and navigating the world. And it's why at that age, we aren't really questioning what we're being told. We're just accepting it at face value. So when we're young, our society has essentially created this idea of good girl, bad girl, in order to help us teach our children. So you'll often hear parents and teachers say, well done, good girl, or don't be a bad girl. And in school and at home, when you do what you're supposed to do, you're told that you're a good girl and you get a treat or you get to watch a TV show. And if you're a bad girl and you've done what you shouldn't have done, you get a timeout or whatever, you know, was your consequence. You didn't get to watch TV or you didn't get to go to a friend's house and got grounded, whatever it was. And so you were taught before you had the ability to reason that in order to get a reward, something that you wanted, you had to do something to earn it. You weren't worthy of that unless you behaved a certain way. So this idea that you are only worthy of things that you want if you behave a certain way became deeply ingrained in your subconscious mind. And that became this sort of moral programming for how you lived your life, and the world capitalized on that. So even as we got older in school, in university, in our jobs, wherever we've really operated in our society, we would sort of see life as, okay, I'm deserving of this because I did these things, because I'm worthy because I've done X, Y, and Z, or I'm not worthy because I didn't do X, Y, and Z. And in this way, it's really easy to control people's expectations. It's easy to control people's behavior and sort of their like acceptance of the situation that they're in. Now, this is how everyone's operating, because what people don't understand is that the beliefs that are hardwired into the subconscious mind aren't actually real, but they're controlling the way everyone's acting and accepting their own reality. And when it comes to self-worth, oftentimes people in this space who have a highly dysregulated nervous system will see a lot of what they're doing in their day-to-day life as self-sabotage. They don't understand why they have certain habits and live a certain lifestyle that might not be optimal. And so they say, I am not worthy of all the self-love that's required in order to heal. I am not worthy of prioritizing myself. I am not worthy of whatever it is that needs to happen to heal. And this idea that worth must be earned has to be eradicated in order for someone to be consistent in their self-love, nervous system regulation practice. So I really want you to think with me in a way that's resourceful to your healing. And in this way that we are thinking, your worth is already entirely yours, and there's nothing you can do to change that. So if you wake up and you do all the things you didn't want to do, right? Like, let's say you wake up and you got on your phone and you got in an Instagram argument with someone and you ate chips for breakfast and, you know, like a Dr. Pepper, I don't know, whatever it is you don't want to do in the morning. Let's say you did all of that. You are still worthy in every single way of investing in yourself for the rest of the day, for the rest of your life, to your absolute best ability, even if you do that every single morning. You are still worthy. Someone who has a different routine is not more worthy than you, because worth is already inherently part of who you are as a human being. And no matter what you do, no matter how much you think you might self-sabotage, no matter how many intrusive thoughts you have, no matter what, you are equally worthy as anyone else, because worth is already inherent in being a human being. And those who believe that and understand that are attracting more and more and more abundance, because they believe they deserve opportunities. They believe they deserve to prioritize themselves. They believe it's worthwhile to put in this effort. And so if you believe that, you're going to be motivated to do the things that support your overall well-being and healing, because they believe they're worthy. And so this idea that has anything to do with your actions is flawed, and it's holding you back. And this all comes back to what I teach my clients, that everything comes down to your beliefs. The why behind why you are or are not doing something, including healing, comes back to what you believe to be true about your reality. So if you do not believe that you are worthy, you need to listen to this episode over and over and over again and understand it and get the message across to your subconscious mind that worth has nothing to do with anything you can act or think or say. And everyone who's ever existed on this planet with a soul is inherently worthy of exactly the same abundance. And those who realize that worth and believe in that worth are the ones who are moving towards what they desire at the fastest speed, including healing. All it takes is for you to believe that. That's all it takes. It's the only difference. And it will change your world, because your beliefs dictate your thoughts. They dictate your actions. They dictate your habits. And your habits create your reality. So it's time to get really self-aware and really think critically about this worthiness component. So now that we've moved past that, and to me, that's step one. So let's move to step 2, now we all believe that we're worthy, we're going to work on this if we aren't already there, and we understand that we deserve the entire world, we deserve abundance, we deserve healing just as much as anyone else, just as much as the person we love the most in the world. The universe, God, source, whatever you want to call it, wants that for us. Now that we know that, let's start with a super simple tip that you can use to start to befriend your nervous system. And it is listen to everyday cues. What does that mean? Our body is always sending us cues, which essentially is kind of like a compass for what is and isn't serving us. And these cues come through symptoms. So I would love to challenge the narrative that your symptoms are something that you should suppress. We are here for the symptoms, guys. This is the body's way of communicating to us. The body can't speak English. Like, it doesn't know your language. So it has to communicate in symptoms. But if you understand that your symptoms and cues are your body's way of communicating, you can build the best relationship with your nervous system because you are going to start to listen. And I think that by now you know that if you want any relationship to be successful, you need to listen. Listen to what the other person has to say. So start to listen to your cues. What does that mean? Well, let's start with the basics. Let's say you're thirsty or you're hungry or you're tired or you like have energy you need to expel or something makes you feel icky inside when you eat it or your eyes are burning because you're staring at a screen for too long. You know, you feel pent up, you feel cold, whatever it is. Or even like you feel anxious or something doesn't feel right, you need to respond to that so that you can show your nervous system that you're listening. I honestly feel like the way society is set up is that so many people are just like ignoring these cues. Like people are told, oh, maybe you're not really hungry or maybe you're not really thirsty or maybe you're not really tired or, you know, it's like, no. If you're hungry, you're hungry. If you're thirsty, you're thirsty. If you're tired, you're tired. If you feel pent up, you're pent up. If you have an ache and pain, let's try to address the underlying root of that. If you're feeling anxious, like let's try to address the underlying root of that. Like let's address what our body is telling us. Our nervous system is sort of like screaming out to us like, hey, like I need you to do something to help me get back into homeostasis. I need energy. I need hydration. I need sleep. I need you to move your body in a certain way so I can downregulate. I need you to, you know, connect to the earth. I need you to get up out of your chair. It's not right. It doesn't feel good. It's not how we want to be. Start to listen to these cues. When you listen to someone or something that you're building a better relationship with, you know, that intention in mind, that someone or something is going to feel hurt and it's going to say, hey, if you're actually going to listen to me, I'm going to tell you more because I feel like it's worthwhile to communicate with you. When we start to suppress our sensations, our nervous system is like, okay, well, if you're not going to listen to me, like what's the point? And it's probably just going to stay stuck in survival and the sensations are going to be confusing. Everything is going to be logged as something more extreme than it is, and it's going to be a process of trying to kind of unravel this complex amalgamation of, you know, sensations. And, you know, this is what we deal with in HTA, and I really help people with this. But I think, you know, where you're at right now, you can start with the simple things. Do not follow the Nike slogan, just do it. Don't do that. We're moving away from that. We are moving away from this idea that we should push past the pain or push past the feeling. It's not lazy to rest. It's not whatever to eat if you're hungry. Like, let's just focus on listening. As you start to do that, what happens is the nervous system, first of all, is going to start regulating itself in many ways because it is actually telling you what you need to self-regulate, because that's the primary directive of the nervous system, is to regulate itself. So if it needs something, it tells you what you need and you do that and you're self-regulating. That's how humans have been regulating for years. And so as you start to do this, not only are you going to start to feel better, but the nervous system is going to communicate with you more and more, and you're going to be better at listening to those cues. So like for me, I do this with everything in my life. And I find that it's really useful because, for example, there's so much information out there on how to be fit, what kind of macros to eat in your day. You should eat this much protein. You should lift this much weight. You should be outside this much. You should take this many steps. You should sleep this many hours, yada, 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 this, that, whatever. And like for me, it's like, well, not everyone is the same. And my body actually doesn't like the way it feels to meet the like standard of what people are saying on the internet. And actually, I like to eat more vegetables than meat. And actually, I need more carbs than is recommended for, you know, the average woman in my age and all this other stuff. And actually, no, like my nervous system is saying that when I don't eat the kind of amount of carbs that I want, it feels like it's in survival and it's scared. And even though my dietitian and my macro coach have been telling me I should eat under that amount, I'm not doing it because I'm listening to my body. And you can see that for me, I'm kind of using our relationship, myself and my nervous system, to optimize and take it to the next level. But I feel like even though people who have loads of experience in all these different areas in my life are telling me one thing, at the end of the day, I always go back to what is my body telling me? What is my nervous system saying? Like, and I feel like recently, like that random carb example was such a good example because it's like, I had my macro coach tell me, I want you to eat under 30 grams of carbs. And then I hired a dietitian who's functionally trained and she said the same thing. And I could just feel my nervous system saying like, this is not good for you. Like you love carbs. Like you need to literally go make a bowl of oatmeal. Like your nervous system from like how you evolved and who you are as a person, your nervous system likes to feel like you are in a carb surplus and you're still gonna be able to hit your goals all as well. And as soon as I started going against the advice I was given and just listening to my body at the exact amount that felt good, the way I felt changed like 1,000,000%. And there's no one out there with any calculation of anything, whether it's healing a chronic illness, whether it's healing anxiety, whether it's fatigue, whether it's losing weight, whatever it is that you're trying to do, there is no one out there that knows what you need better than the cues of your body. So if you're on the spectrum of trying to heal something in the chronic illness space, start small by listening to you're thirsty, you're hungry, you're tired. Stop judging those symptoms. Like stop bringing that to your practitioner and be like, something's wrong with me because I'm always this or that. Just start listening to it. And as you do and you build that relationship, you're going to start to understand why those sensations are coming up and what the nervous system is trying to tell you and what you need for you. So many people live in conflict of like, my doctor said I should do this, or like the internet, you know, the wellness world says I should do this, but it doesn't work for me. But I'm just going to keep doing it and pushing through it. But it might not be right for you. And the only way to know what's right for you is to build that relationship with your body and listen to those cues. As you start to do that, the nervous system will calm down. It'll start to regulate. Racing thoughts will decrease, right? You'll find that you're able to get into parasympathetic because the body feels safe when it's heard. And it's such a simple thing to do. And this is what I always do on my podcast. I'm like, let me give you simple hacks that will change your life. Who can't just listen to their hunger cues? Who can't just take a seat if they're tired? Who can't just take a walk? You know what I mean? It's like, these are things that anyone can do that, in my opinion, make the most profound impact. So those are my first two tips. I'm going to take my last sip of my coffee and we'll move on to the rest of them. Tip number three, set an intention for all of your activities to nourish your body and help you get back into homeostasis. Here's what's really interesting about intention. So when you set an intention for any activity, which by the way, most people don't set intentions for any of their activities. They just go without intentions throughout their day. And it's a real shame because when you set an intention for anything, it's going to mobilize all these different parts of your brain to try to essentially make your intention happen. It's going to help you focus your attention on what you want to see, which is hugely powerful for the end result to be desirable to you. So here, the end result, of course, is the nervous system feeling supported. As you're moving through your activities, whether it's eating, whether it's sleeping, whether it's exercising, whether it's sitting down for a meeting, like whatever you're doing, I want you to sit down, take a second before you do it, and set an intention for how that activity is going to nourish your nervous system. So for example, like if you're sitting down to have a snack, you sit down, you take a deep breath, ground yourself and say like, this food is going to nourish my cells. It's going to send the message to my nervous system that I'm safe because I'm eating, and that indicates to the nervous system that you're safe from like a primitive standpoint. And it's going to nourish my body and give me energy. And that's my intention. And first of all, notice this shift from like a lot of the food fear in the wellness space. Like this is just not what we need for those of us. Like imagine eating something, but like telling your body it's scary. Like that doesn't work. The intention of going on a walk, like I'm going to go on a walk and it's going to, help me expel any energy that's stagnant. It's going to get the juices flowing. I'm going to like breathe deeply, oxygenate my blood, which helps me heal. Whatever you're doing, even if it is something that like you don't necessarily want to do, but you know it's important, you can say, you know, this meeting, for example, that I have to take, my intention is to speak in a way that would benefit my future self. I'm going to stay grounded. I'm going to stay creative and open-minded. I'm going to listen and I'm going to be kind to myself and others. And I'm going to conduct myself in a way that makes my future self happy. That is very regulating to me because my nervous system knows that in the future, there's not going to be backlash. There's not going to ever be apprehension to moving forward in my relationships at work, to my meetings at work, whatever it is, because of this mentality. And so everything you do, you're setting an intention for how you're going to be nourished in relation to your nervous system. It's not always physically, it's not always going to be like what you eat, but it's going to be something that nourishes your nervous system. And what that does to the brain is it starts to focus you in on how everything's benefiting the nervous system. So many of us are thinking about how everything is hurting our nervous system and is hurting our body. We're trained to fear food. We're trained to fear certain types of exercise. We're trained to fear EMFs and products. We're trained to fear working too much and stressing ourselves out, or we just already do fear these things inherently because we don't enjoy whatever we're engaged in. And fear of any kind is dysregulating. If we go in with this mentality that something is scary for us, the nervous system is like, oh my God, this is really dangerous. And so it's not about that you're necessarily changing what you're doing. It's that you're changing the way you look at it. And we'll move on to this point next, but there are positive and negative aspects in every moment of reality. And so it's training your brain to look for what about that moment could be nourishing for you. And when you set the intention, you're mobilizing your brain to find those aspects of your reality. You become the type of person who creates an internal world that's so regulating that your external world is kind of irrelevant. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that your external world is still important and we can talk about that. And I have episodes about that. But I think first and foremost, your internal world is actually the most important part of you regulating, and you've got to get that right. So this is a really simple thing you can do. You can start practicing with every single thing you do. I love doing this when I'm tidying my house because I think that a lot of people like, you know, it's like, oh, I still have to do this. Oh, you know, it's like so much effort. I'm tired after a long day. But doing, you know, like, hey, I'm nourishing my nervous system, because we know the nervous system doesn't like clutter, right? So I'm nourishing my nervous system. I feel like so amazing to be able to have this clear space that brings me so much peace and allows me to be regulated just by being in the presence of this clear space. And that's also going to help releasing those neurotransmitters that make you feel good. And it's going to increase dopamine around the activity so that you actually want to do that. Because dopamine is the neurotransmitter that's released before you do something that you want to do. So if you're attaching a positive emotion to a specific event in your life, then you're going to have more dopamine, and then you're going to be more motivated to do things that you don't necessarily want to do in the future, switching it to something that you actually do want to do.
and it makes your life better and you want to do it and all as well. So there is a million reasons why you should be setting intentions in front of what you do, but this is really an easy thing. So try it for one day, see how it works, journal, you know, what did and didn't work for you. And I promise it's going to change so much about your life and so much for your nervous system. So that's tip number three. Tip number four, every day when you wake up, list five things that you love about yourself. So with my students, when we talk about this self-love and self-worth, I'm consistently getting, you know, I'm not very good at this. I always self-sabotage this, yada, yada, yada. We already know that what we focus on expands. If you're going to consistently focus on what you don't like about yourself, that's all you're going to see. And I said this to you earlier, and I'll say it again. In every moment, there are aspects that you like and aspects that you don't like. There are things that are wanted and things that are unwanted. And it's your choice what you focus on. There's never going to be a moment where there are only unwanted aspects. It doesn't exist in the quantum reality. So you get to decide, as someone who now understands that they're inherently worthy, what you want to focus on and what's going to be the object of your attention. We can change the brain structurally to focus on what we want by practicing. And so one of the best, easiest ways to do this is to think about the things you love about yourself. Go through in the morning and focus on what you want, right? So focus on the five things about yourself that you like. It might be hard at first, which is okay. But when as your brain is changing, it'll become easier. And what this is going to do for you is send so many messages of love via neurotransmitters and your energy in general to the nervous system. It's going to say, hey, you're doing a good freaking job. Hey, we're worthy of healing. Hey, we're going to be good at what we do today. Hey, we're worthy of being prioritized. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy for you at first, but what I'm saying is you're on a journey of changing your brain. So wherever you are, it doesn't really matter. Like, even if you're at a place where this feels really hard, this feels really intimidating, just start with where you're at. And it could be really simple things at first. But I want to share with you that this is something I personally do. And it's not because I find self-love hard. It's because I know that this is important. It also takes you like 2 seconds. So do this in the morning and remind yourself when you're struggling to do any of this work that in any moment, there are unwanted and wanted aspects in any moment. And you get to decide, what are you going to focus on? And where you put your energy and where you put your attention, it's going to expand into your reality. It's going to become true for you. And that's not just, you know, spirituality and energetics, but that's how the brain works. Like, the brain learns to focus on where you give your attention, and you see that manifest structurally. Like, the brain actually changes. So why not give your attention to what serves you and helps you reach your goals? So I'm going to end these tips with something that's like not as like mind and brain related and just kind of like a fun tip. Like, let's just make it for the girls. Tip number five, get freaking ready for the day. So like, again, you can see this is on a totally different like trajectory as the other ones, but here's the thing. I'm a mom of two babies, and like sometimes I'm like literally, I shared this on my Instagram story. I am in the same bun that I was wearing like 2 days before, and I just feel so gross. And there's something about getting ready for the day that is such an act of self-love. That's like, you see this as well, like if you're a mom and you have like a little kid, there's always all these reels going around of like, look how beautiful my child looks and I look like a homeless person. You do that for your child because you love them and you feel like they deserve it. When you put effort into yourself on some level, you feel so much better about yourself and you're more likely and more motivated to be successful at the other aspects of your day. Like, you're going to have increased dopamine around setting those intentions, around saying the five things that you love about yourself, about listening to your cues, like all these things we talked about. There is a science behind it, just putting in a little bit of effort. I'm not saying you need to like go full out, like, you know, put on lashes and lipstick, but I'm just saying, like, if that looks like taking a shower or putting on some tinted sunscreen and just getting into even QF leisure, just like get yourself set up to start a new chapter, which is your day, and use that as that moment of like, this is marking a fresh start from the transition of sleep today And you're kind of mobilizing all the intentions that are going to propel you through your day. So those are my 5 tips on how to nurture, love, coddle, care for your nervous system and show your nervous system that you guys are on the same team. To stop feeling like you and your body are not working together and to really build this beautiful relationship where you're bouncing off each other, your mind and your body, and you're the best of friends, and you're navigating this physical reality, this emotional reality, this spiritual reality, and trying to figure out what works best for you so you can be the best version of yourself. These are simple, innate things that we can all do and we were born to do, our ancestors did, that will help us find the best version of ourselves, that will help us be the best version of ourselves, and will help us feel the best we could possibly feel. So I hope that this was helpful for you. I hope that these are actionable tips that will have a real lasting impact on your life. If you liked what you heard in the podcast, make sure to rate and review us. Honestly, the podcast is one of my favorite ways to chat to you, but it is free content. And the best thing you can do to support if you like the free coaching is to rate and review me, because then my podcast is shared with more people and I can continue to get the message out. So make sure you go below, rate and review me, share on social media. And of course, if you are interested in working with me and getting this kind of live support so that I can really look at your specific situation and teach you exactly what you need on a subconscious level to heal your nervous system and regulate for good, then go to the link below and sign up for the Health Transformation Accelerator or book a call with my admissions team. It's a free call and you can just chat through your situation and how this work could support you. And as always, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast, and I'll see you next time.